invite you to be seated. So as you can see from the title of my message today, it's called The Advent Tree. And so we're going to talk about trees here, tree language in the message today. And so as I was reading the passage, which is from Isaiah 11, so if you brought your Bibles, you could look it up, Isaiah chapter 11, it reminded me of something from my past. And so here's some advice to any guys out there who are trying to woo a girl. There is a point, a line that can be crossed where you're going from charming to just flat stupid. So here's what happened. And I'm not kidding. This is the story that jumped into my head when I was reading this passage about trees. So this was back before Zara and I were engaged. We lived on Hilton Head, South Carolina, and she did too. Her family and my family lived there. So her mom needed some branches cut down on one of her trees in her front yard. There's very big trees there if you've ever been to South Carolina there. And asked, you know, Zara, can you ask Scott if he could maybe do that? And I said, of course I can do that. I know how to work a chainsaw. So I came over in my truck, you know, and I had my 8-foot ladder, and I got up and I got the branches that were low enough. And then her mom said, well, could you reach those ones that are just up a little bit higher? I said, yeah, of course I can. So I backed my truck up, put the ladder in the truck, and then got up with the chainsaw and was cutting those branches down. And then she's like, well, you know, I was doing all this because I wanted to impress not only Zara, but her mom. Because, you know, I was already starting to think, you know, I think I'm going to marry her, or at least ask her to marry me. So I want to impress them. So I crawled up into the tree with the chainsaw and proceeded to cut the branch that I was standing on. I didn't hurt myself, but that's where you're crossing the line of trying to impress a woman to just being stupid. But anyway, that really doesn't have much to do with what I'm going to talk about, but the trees, the tree language does. And so this passage that we're going to take a look at from Isaiah, so remember, we're taking a look at four prophecies from the book of Isaiah to prepare us for the coming of Jesus, not only his first coming, but his second coming. And so Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, I've broken it down into four parts to try to explain and walk through this here together. So the first verse is up on the screen here. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So Isaiah says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, if you're just opened up and start reading in Isaiah, it can be confusing when we don't take things in the context of the whole Bible. It's like, what are you talking about, Isaiah, and who's Jesse? I'm glad you asked. Because Jesse is the father of David. So remember, Jesse had a bunch of sons. One of them was David, the youngest, who eventually became the greatest king that Israel had. It was the king that was after God's own heart, which was why he was selected to be the king. And so Jesse's the father of David, and we know from other passages in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that the Messiah that God has promised since the beginning, since the Garden of Eden, when he promised he was going to take care of this problem, he would send a Messiah. And so the passages that we get tell us that this Messiah is going to come from the line of David. So if you look at another passage I have up on the screen for you, it's from Ezekiel. This is just one of those passages. Another prophet. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. Now, mind you, Ezekiel comes after David. David's dead. So he's talking about somebody else. My servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Of course, God's talking about his son here, this David. And so you know who else is in the line of David? Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And if you go to Matthew chapter 1, you can do this at home later. I know you will all go run home and do this. But there's a genealogy of Jesus that Matthew puts in there. It talks about David and then all the sons, and then eventually it gets down to Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. And if you notice our manger scene over here, what Pastor Bill and I are doing during this season of Advent is we're going to talk about different pieces to the manger scene. And his wife, Cammie Johnson, is painting this for us. So each service, there's going to be a new thing added. So today is Joseph. Because Joseph was in the line of David. And this is where Jesus comes from. So the first name of Jesus that we get here, we're going to go through four names that Isaiah tells us. So Jesus is the shoot that Isaiah is talking about here. So let's go on to Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 5. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And so what do we learn here about our Savior from these verses? We learn that Jesus is the Christ, which is not, by the way, is not Jesus' last name. When we say Jesus Christ, that's his title. And Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that's been planned to come all this time. It also talks about how Jesus is going to be the judge. Except he doesn't judge with his eyes and his ears. You see, this king judge will not judge that way like normal kings do. They judge with what they see and what they hear and rule. And this should actually be very comforting to us, because this is also how David was picked to be king. Because it says back in 1 Samuel that God does not look like men do at outward appearance. God looks at what's in the heart. And that's how he judges. He doesn't care what you look like or how big you are. See, David was the smallest of all his brothers. In fact, Jesse didn't even bring David to be shown to Samuel, because he just assumed David would never be the one that was going to be picked to be king. But God does not look at outward appearances. He just doesn't care. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care how popular, how much money you have, what kind of job you have. He cares about your heart. And this new king, Jesus, will rule rightly and fairly, and not just concerned with his own self-interest. You know, it's a good thing that we don't have any worldly leaders that only think of themselves nowadays, right? Let's go on. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So what we learn from these verses is exactly what Megan just told the children in the children's message and what the second Advent candle represents, which is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's one of the greatest titles, I think, for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And I find this to be extremely comforting because we live in a world of destruction. So just like that chopped down tree, you remember back to verse 1 when Isaiah said, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, what does a stump usually represent? It represents that it's dead, it's destroyed, right? But there's going to be a shoot that comes out of it, which is why I'm calling this the Advent tree, and I have a picture up there for you to see. You see all the death and the destruction around all those trees chopped down. There's no life except this one shoot coming up out of this stump. So I thought, you know, in my yard I could go dig up one of my stumps, put a, you know, a branch in it, and bring it in and put it in our living room and call it the Advent tree. Zara did not approve of this. But this is what I call the Advent tree. And this is the kind of a world we live in. We live in a world of death and destruction. We're no different than what the Israelites were facing way back in Isaiah chapter 11. Things haven't changed. The Bible's not out of date. The Bible speaks to us exactly here in 2022. It's exactly the kinds of things we face in our times because of the sin in this world. We deal with death, death of loved ones. We deal with sicknesses. There's so much sickness now going around, all kinds of different viruses. We deal with natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. We deal with wars. There's always a war going on somewhere in the world. We deal with depression and anxiety, which is something that can even be more prevalent at this time of season. For some people, it's not all about, you know, holly jolly. It's a depressing time of season. If you've lost a loved one, that reminds you every Christmas time. And depression and anxiety are real things that some of us, you know, deal with on a daily basis. And it stinks, and I speak from personal experience. It's hard to explain sometimes what depression is. It just feels like a dark hole sometimes. And anxiety can just overcome some of us. And then there's all kinds of other mental health issues that we have to deal with in our broken world. There's cancer. There's broken relationships all the time in our families. And you know, sometimes we can just get caught up in the destruction like this picture shows of all these chopped down trees. All this death and destruction, and we can begin to feel sometimes like there's no hope. Because it just seems so cruddy. But there is hope. And that's probably the biggest beauty about being a believer in Jesus Christ. Even in your darkest moments, whatever you're going through, there is hope, which is the first Advent candle, and which is represents this shoot coming up out of this dead stump. There is hope. The shoot represents life and salvation in the midst of the death and dreary and destruction that we live in this world. You know, I was going to read a bunch of headlines from the news and decided not to because it was too depressing. And again, that shoot is Jesus. And this is what God has promised from the beginning. God keeps his promises. And this is what Isaiah is prophesying about, this coming Messiah that's going to make all things better. And if you notice from those verses that I just read, there were lions, wolves hanging out with lambs. That normally wouldn't happen, right? There's leopards hanging out with goats. There's cows and bears grazing together in harmony. There's Hoosiers hanging out with Boilermakers. Even that, Jim, they will be in harmony. There's children playing next to cobras. How many of you parents would let your kids play next to a cobra? But because of this shoot, that'll happen. Everything is safe under the protective watch of this Prince of Peace. And let's look at this last verse, verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. So not only is Jesus the shoot in this prophecy, Jesus is also the root. He's the root and the shoot. And wherever he dwells will be glorious. Even while we're here on earth amidst the death and the destruction, we can cling on to that hope because he brings peace to our lives. We have hope. We know that this isn't the end, because we will go and dwell with him in heaven, where it will be glorious forever when we see him face to face and hang out with him. Jesus is the main thing. Amen? And here at Promise, we will keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. Let's pray.